It always makes me wonder if certain programs would survive without the government giving manufacturers your money. What comes to mind? The electric vehicle subsidy is what I'm referring to. Electric vehicles, the two biggest manufacturers, Tesla and General Motors. General Motors, I know for sure, loses money each time it sells an electric vehicle. And yet, the push was so hard for electric vehicles to be phased in across this country that taxpayers were asked to subsidize the entire affair, $7,500, I believe. And when you look at the numbers, you'll find that the majority of those that buy electric vehicles make more than $200,000 a year, and then they get a $7,500 kickback from the government. It doesn't seem to me, it's not going to help people that are driving older, lower mileage vehicles. That's not doing them any good, now is it? Joining me now, Phil Kirpin, the president of the American Commitment. Phil, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Steve, great to be with you.
Now, these subsidies are set to be phased out, but of course, that has the Democrats scrambling, trying to keep them alive and make sure that they persist. Tell me about these subsidies. How long have they been here? How many vehicles have been sold? How much money are we talking? Do you have a good idea of that?
Well, it was this was originally passed in 2007. President Bush signed it. It was a Democrat House, but a Republican Senate. And so this was a bipartisan program originally. And, you know, the logic behind it back 12 years ago was, you know, they kind of said, look, we are worried about our dependency on foreign oil, and let's diversify our vehicle fleet away from being all gasoline and diesel, and let's have a non-petroleum fuel base so that we're not as vulnerable to supply disruptions, was basically the argument. I think, you know, some of the Democrats made sort of environmental arguments, but the main thing was this idea of diminishing our vulnerability to supply disruptions because of our dependency on foreign oil. And can you imagine a rationale less relevant to today than that, when we're now not only a net oil exporter, but some weeks we've been the number one exporter in the entire world?
Well, that's so right. We create energy in America. We have more natural resources here in this country. We are blessed by God for what we have here, whether it's timber, water, farmland, and now oil. And technology and the ability to work very hard to make that happen, Phil, you're exactly right. Now, I'm trying to follow the numbers here because I think the numbers involved here are staggering potentially, because here we are giving away these subsidies. And another one of the facts that we'll find that I find, I don't know, disturbing is that the majority of these electric vehicles go to one state, California. So you and I, or all the taxpayers really across the country, are subsidizing wealthy California drivers so they can have their cool Tesla to cruise around in. I don't see how that does much benefit for Mississippi or Michigan.
Right, actually, and there are multiple ways we're doing that, not only through the tax code with the federal tax credit, but California also has something called the zero emission vehicle scheme, which is a regulatory credit scheme. And so, you know, Tesla's getting, I think it's $15,000 basically from California, from other manufacturers that pay them so that they are allowed to sell regular internal combustion vehicles that are not zero emissions vehicles. They've got to pay Tesla for the privilege of doing that. And so you've got an embedded cost. Every time anyone buys a car or truck anywhere in the country, you're paying a couple $100 extra embedded, hidden in the price, because of the California scheme that requires the other manufacturers to pay, you know, electric vehicle manufacturers. And then, of course, we've got this federal tax credit on top of that, so we're subsidizing it through the tax code as well. And, you know, as you mentioned, these are generally upper-income people. It is not lower-income people who buy electric cars. In fact, the most recent IRS data shows 1% of electric vehicle purchasers make less than $50,000.
Well, and let me focus on that a little bit further, because in recent weeks and months, we've heard General Motors indicate that they're going to focus on making more electric vehicles. In fact, they may be the first car company in the world to try to become exclusively electric. And you have to ask yourself, why would they do that? Do they have a deal with the government that we don't know about? Is there some backroom deal going on, some arrangement? Because where I live, the people here still like big SUVs, Suburbans and Tahoes built by General Motors, for example. Big vehicles, safe vehicles. Not the best mileage vehicles on the roads, but it's what people like. It's what they like to drive. And what we're seeing instead are a big push towards driverless vehicles, autonomous vehicles on the roads, which I think steps on your freedom, plus this push for more electric vehicles when we don't have the infrastructure in place to support that in many places. And yet this push continues. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a few reasons. First of all, the autonomous vehicles, I think the manufacturers like those because they think they're going to be able to cut the dealers out and sell massive fleet sales directly themselves. And they think that'll pad their bottom line, essentially for that reason. And also, I think a lot of the liberal cities want to ban, regular individually owned vehicles and just run autonomous vehicle fleets, which would be, an astonishing affront to freedom. But watch for some place like Berkeley, California, or Portland, Oregon, to try that. I would not be surprised if we see that happen.
I've been predicting that for a very long time, Phil. What I think that autonomous vehicles are going to mean is a restriction of your freedom, because what will happen is you will be allotted, American citizen number one, will be allotted X amount of energy units per month. And when you take a trip to the grocery store, you use a unit. When you go to work each day, you use a unit. And so you say, well, it's Sunday and I want to go for a drive. I'm sorry, Mr. Gruber. You've used your units for the day and you don't have a car you can drive yourself. It's an autonomous vehicle, and so it won't even start. I mean, I see that as a future for us. Maybe it's extreme, but I see that as more government control over the individual, which I think is the path we're on.
Well, the consortium of companies promoting electric vehicles, both the operators and the manufacturers, in their principles that they've called for, one of the principles that they listed was the idea that there would be large areas of exclusivity where only fleets are allowed, where individually owned vehicles are not allowed. So I don't find that to be a conspiracy theory at all. I think that is certainly where a lot of people want to go, and I think the manufacturers see this as, oh, great, we can cut out the dealers, and we can just sell fleets, and they can make more money. So I think that's part of it. In terms of the preference for electric vehicles, there's a strong policy preference for that. We have federal fuel economy rules, although the Trump administration is trying to make those more reasonable right now. Of course, they're going to have a fight with Democrats in Congress trying to push back on that. You've got the California regulatory scheme, which embeds huge subsidies for electric vehicles. And we've got this federal tax credit. And frankly, it's supposed to be phasing out right now. Tesla and General Motors are in the phase-out range. It was only supposed to be there for 200,000 vehicles per manufacturer. And, back when this was put in, its supporters said this is only temporary. It's only temporary to get them off the ground.
Then but the truth is, it's temporary as long as
they're trying to get the cap lifted.
So of course
they are. Make those subsidies open-ended, too.
Billions of dollars. Phil Kirpin, great to have you here as always. I don't like autonomous vehicles because of the foundation of what I think they represent. I don't like it at all in some ways. Phil Kirpin, the president of the American Commitment, thanks for being here. Greatly appreciated as always.
All right, have a good one.
It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Thursday. We'll be right back.
Hey, parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Mom, not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.